regulations and the county overlay ordinance is already in place. The gorge in Oregon is already protected. The bi-state compact with Washington could include that state's passage of similar legislation that could complete the job. The beauty of such an arrangement could lessen considerably the enormous cost projected by the federal act, as well as the potential for costly lawsuits initiated by citizens over constitutional questions. Also, costs could be placed on a slower track, much more easily absorbed by the states that have serious financial difficulties now. The federal government has put the states of Oregon and Washington in a very uncomfortable position. It sets up requirements that the states must follow in order to receive a paltry sum in relation to the amounts the states must expend. It spells out chapter and verse just how the states must set up the commission, and then fully disclaims its responsibility for placing the states in such jeopardy by stating in the act that, quote, the commission shall not be considered an agency or instrumentality of the United States for the purpose of any federal law, unquote. We think the states should shoot the ball back into the feds' court by following the suggestions outlined here, and only one state needs to decline to set up the commission. We hope Oregon will be the one that puts common sense before the prospect of plunging into the unknown that the state will deeply regret. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions of the witness? No, we appreciate it. Our next witness is Bowen Blair, Friends of the Columbia Gorge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bowen Blair, and I'm the Executive Director of Friends of the Columbia Gorge. Now, the Friends is a nonprofit organization of 4,000 members with offices in both Portland and Seattle. We are dedicated to the preservation of the scenic, natural, recreational, and cultural values of the gorge, and to the education of the public regarding the gorge's tremendously varied and nationally significant resources. While we have not had an opportunity to study the bill before today's committee, I received it about half an hour ago. We do support it. I certainly didn't see anything in there that indicated it might be a problem for our organization. We support the concept of state ratification basically for three reasons. First, ratification completes the management partnership of local, state, and federal interests created by the National Scenic Area Act. Only through ratification will the state of Oregon be able to implement its considerable interest in the future of the gorge through the establishment of a regional commission. This commission will have direct management authority over approximately 45% of the national scenic area and considerable influence over the management of an additional 45% of the area. Second, state ratification will remove the specter of federal control over the Columbia Gorge, a specter which has been cynically manipulated by opponents to gorge protection at the considerable expense of gorge residents. Once the states ratify the National Scenic Area Act and the Regional Commission approves local zoning ordinances, then the direct federal authority over 90% of the area withdraws only to the special management areas, which, as I said before, encompass only about 45% of the area. If the states do not ratify, then the Forest Service retains approval authority over development in the gorge outside of the exempted urban areas. Finally, state ratification is necessary to release the $34.8 million authorized in the federal legislation for projects such as payments in lieu of taxes, an interpretive center, a conference center, recreational facilities, a program to restore and reconstruct the scenic highway, and economic development grants. In closing, I would like to again urge ratification of the National Scenic Area Act so that Oregon may safeguard its critical interests in the Columbia Gorge. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify. And if I could, Mr. Chairman, just briefly respond to a question which was raised by Representative Ekus before. There was some confusion over the existing bill's reference to an Oregon statute which essentially has LCDC be the commission in charge of the entire state and the commission for any interstate compacts. The people who drafted the federal bill were not aware of that provision, so it was important in subsequent state ratification legislation to address it, and that's the purpose of the amendment.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions of the witness? Representative Ekus, did you want to respond to a question? You got the last comments the witness made. Did you hear?
No, I was settling his previous question.
All right. Well, he was responding to one of your earlier questions. But I just about to tell him that was probably satisfactory, but I figured I shouldn't speak for you.
Yeah, if we were talking about the relationship to LCDC, et cetera, yes. We have gotten that. I understand that. The problem is that there's a Columbia Gorge Commission we're creating, there's a Columbia Gorge Commission we're getting rid of, and then there's references to LCDC.
That's right.
Having trouble following the reference to commission in that particular section. I understand now.
I'd also like to support Representative Fawbush's comments about having a single commission in charge. Where I'd like to make a distinction is the withdrawal of state planning goals. I understand that that is being considered at some point for subsequent legislation. It's not a topic of today's hearing. But we strongly would oppose any removal of the state planning goals for the National Scenic Area.
Appreciate that, and that is an important distinction. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If anyone else care to give testimony at this point on HB 2472, creation of the Columbia Gorge Commission? If not, I will close the hearing on 2472, and we'll stand in short recess while I round up the members of the committee.
Consider me rounded. That's only one.
Something we need to clear up is exposing the federal legislation.
Version that the governor's appointment shall serve at the pleasure of the governor. I think we've had some arguments there, but I understand that the governor has likes this language and has requested that language. And I guess we're of mixed minds, but I don't know that it's a big item. But let's put that as number one that we want to discuss. Number two is in reference to Section 6 concerning the Interstate Land Conservation Development Planning Agency, the relationship and meaning of that in reference to LCDC, and so on. Now, that section was not in the original bill that was introduced at all, was it? 2472 did not contain that provision whatsoever.
Right.
All right, that's an issue. A third issue is reference to this business about records and how they're open and the whole question of taking a look at those records and the meaning of that under state law. Are there other issues that we need to resolve? Or other issues that were major sticking points?
Yes.
Are those it? That's it, isn't it, I think. Is that...
Here's the three.
Anybody want to add to that?
The governor, the land issue, and the open records.
Jeanette, let me ask you on the smaller of these, I think, issues, the one on the appointments by the governor. In reference to your earlier point, that if you left that sentence, see, where is it? It's on page
6, it's section 3, I believe. Is it?
Right, page 3 at the top of the proposed amendments, LC 2193. If we were to make a change, subject to Senate confirmation pursuant to section 4, article 3 of the Oregon Constitution, period, as I understand your earlier comment, that would then mean that he could remove them for cause. Is that correct?
That's correct. Although, quick consultation with the expert, Mr. Bob Lundy in our office.
Can you speak up just a bit? I think we can't hear you.
Bob Lundy from our office recommended that if you want him to be able to remove for cause, that you specify that they can remove for cause. If you say at the pleasure of the governor, he can remove, and it's not clear what, you know, it's not exactly clear what circumstances that entail. But if you want for cause, it's better to specify.
We are in work session, but we're not yet. I'm not yet ready for a formal amendment, so let's just discuss this a bit. Is this an issue with members of the committee?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm really sure it's an issue, but the for cause is more restrictive than some people might be led to believe. It boils down to certain things like committing felonies and moral turpitude and those types of things, whereas pleasure of is no reason at all, in theory. there's been a disagreement or personality conflict or what. And I don't have any real druthers. I guess I'm sure the governor is very comfortable serving at the pleasure of the governor. Although this legislative assembly did, when they created LCDC, put in for cause only. I don't know if this is on a parallel with that or not. I personally have been more comfortable with the third pleasure of the governor.
Okay. Representative Soa.
Well, I feel more comfortable with the language in the original bill with the addition of be removed for cause. And that's okay. Similar to what statutes I know about it, like Fish and Wildlife Commission and DEQ and commissions like that.
Representative Johnson?
I'd like to ask some of the members who've been involved, can you think of a scenario where it really makes a difference?
I can give you a political scenario. It would be the Land Conservation Development Commission. Our prior governor was there for 8 years and would have made some changes on that commission, but was prohibited from making those changes because of for cause only. And they did not serve at the pleasure of. Maybe you're speaking out of school, but I think that was fairly common knowledge.
Okay, anyone else? All right, let's come back to that, and let's look at discuss these issues briefly, and then we can proceed from there. Let's take the second one, Section 6 at the bottom, page 6. I think it would help if you would explain again, Joan, I think you talked about it earlier, and Representative Faubus talked about this, so we all understand clearly what is being stated here.
Mr. Chairman, actually, I think Diane was more clear on it right. After I confused the issue, trying to interpret what Representative Egan said.
Well, I think it's confusing people. We're talking about we've got three different bodies. We've got an existing commission. We got this proposed, or the one that we're trying to create commission. We got LCDC, and I think we're confused with the use of these terms.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, what the language does is amend 197.050, which are the land use statutes. The new language is that which is underlined, and we're just adding an exception to existing language, which in effect says, the language says LCDC shall do the planning in interstate compacts or bi-state compacts. And then we're adding except in this case. And in this case, LCDC will not do the planning. It will be done as a part of the process, the partnership between local, state, and federal government.
All right,
I have checked that out with Jim Ross, who's in the back of the room, and he said it is a technical amendment, and this does exactly what it needs to do.
Is Jim here?
Yes, he is.
Jim, why don't you come up a minute so we can clear this up? He's not here. How about you, Ellington? I think the confusion is over simply the meaning and the use of the terms. In this area, then, the body that would, in fact, perform the state role in planning would be the bi-state commission. Is that correct?
That's our understanding.
All right. But this particular provision has nothing to do with the state guidelines. That is, that whether the determination whether those will be applicable in this area or not will then have still be made by us in our subsequent legislation.
In the second bill.
Yes. Okay. My administrator wants clearly for you to give your name so
Eldon
the record
Hount,
knows
Deputy
who you are.
Director.
All right.
Land Conservation and Development Department.
Right. Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Well, I don't know who I want to ask this. Diane, I guess. why do we need that at this present time? Why isn't this coming to us under the more omnibus or onimus, whatever, land use changes that are obviously going to be necessary to be made.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, my understanding is that what we are creating the commission, ratifying the agreement by this, and the commission will go into effect when four members are appointed from each state. I don't know when we will get to the land use bill, and essentially as long as this change is not made, as I understand it, then LCDC would be the state's representative in any kind of a bi-state agreement. And this just technically takes LCDC out of that role.
So what you're saying is we create the commission, we provide a budget, but before we get to all the land use stuff, during that period of time, you'd have this bi-state commission, you'd have LCDC, and you'd have the local activities. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. Is that correct?
Without this amendment.
Without this amendment, yes.
Certainly be unclear.
Okay. Anyone have any, everybody clear on that now? I mean, you can like it or dislike it, but I think we understand what's being said here. All right, any other questions then on this section? Yes,
I got one more thing.
All right.
If it were deleted, what damage do we do to the creation of the commission?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, I don't believe you'd do any damage to the creation of the commission. You would just leave this area cloudy. And in fact, LCDC would be required by law, as it now stands on the books, to be the state's representative in this bi-state compact.
Everyone hear that?
Yes.
I think it personally creates some problems, but that's it's a personal matter. But we may be talking about a couple, 2-3 months, maybe not, in reference to finally getting the land use part resolved, because there hasn't even been a bill drafted, to my knowledge, has there?
Right. Okay. Mr. Chairman, there has not been a bill, but it's being thought about. I might describe that as the current place we are in that process. But having dealt with land use decisions in the Gorge for the last 6 years, I think we have all stated time and again we want this to be as clean and simple a process, just as Representative Faubush said. And to add one more player as we try to deal with the interim guidelines while everything's being set up would just make it very difficult to proceed in a timely and fair way, especially for the people of the Gorge.
In other words, this particular provision, if the body is created with this provision there, it would take LCDC as an entity. Now, we're not talking about the land use goals, but as an entity out of the process. Okay? All right.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Faubush, or no, Eakes. Go ahead.
I still got my
hair. Go ahead, Representative Eakes.
Must be that coffee.
We all look alike.
I guess the ultimate question is that what we want to do? Because that's a decision we're making now in this bill, is that we want LCDC out of it.
As the state's representative in the bi-state compact.
Right. Not that our land use planning laws would be out of it, but that for the purposes of creating the commission, we would be saying we don't feel it's necessary to have LCDC as the state's representative in the commission.
That's right. And if you read the language, it says the commission, meaning LCDC, as it is now on the books, shall perform the functions of the state with respect to the agreement or compact. By providing this exception, we're saying LCDC will not perform the functions of the state with regard to this compact.
And who does perform the functions of the state are the representatives
on
of
the commission.
The state on the commission.
Right. And they will be working with the counties developing a new, developing the land use plan and the ordinances, et cetera. It's also my understanding that Oregon is fairly well there in terms of the land use plans that we have.
Okay, I'm just trying to make it clear that what our real decision is here. I don't think at this point I have any particular problems with that. It makes sense. But
let me have Representative Anderson, then Representative Parkinson.
I'm sort of new at this. I did read the entire bill, and that's not saying much, but I tried to get an understanding of it. But obviously, from what with testimony we've had from the Department of Land Conservation, so on, there are many issues that will be left unresolved. And to me, by removing the commission, and in essence, maybe not the department, that, you know, we don't have any expert running the store. I'd be more comfortable with not dealing with ORS 197 until we finally have to face up to it.
One of the things I think, Representative, we need to, I think, make clear for the record, is I understand that this provision does not change LCDC's role in the excluded urban areas. Is that correct?
That's what I understand.
Yes.
Also, is Jeanette?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, carry a little further. I mean, there are several areas, they may be minor, where urban growth boundaries don't quite jive. They're close, but they don't quite jive. There are areas, for example, maybe in a forest area where a dwelling is allowed under a federal bill on 40 acres, and maybe it's 60 acres under one county and 20 acres under another county. And so on, those issues all have to be resolved. And I guess we're going to leave those issues up to the Gorge Commission themselves rather than to mitigate those issues. Notwithstanding county comprehensive plans and all these things. And those are some big issues that this committee is going to be dealing with.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Eakin.
So another question needs to be answered is, if we included this amendment, we didn't change anything. We didn't pass any other legislation. Or it took us till June or, God forbid, August or whatever to do it. In the meantime, do our existing state land use laws apply?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ickes, I questioned the Attorney General's office on that point, and the response I got was yes, the existing law does apply. All this does is say that LCDC will not do the planning for the bi-state compact.
Okay. That's
what well, you've got a, you clearly got a new state planner in that area for the areas you're talking about, and that's the commission. But until we pass legislation related to the land use and other state land policies and statutes, why state laws are applicable. Yes, Representative Parker.
A couple of three questions. The first one, now the commission will be responsible for the special management areas and the general areas. Is that correct? The general areas?
It's my understanding the commission is responsible for the general areas, and I believe the Forest Service is responsible for the special management areas.
Right.
Well, now, I'll lead into the second one. Now, is it conceivable after this is set up and procedures are developed and everything that the Columbia Gorge Commission could have different goals than the statewide goals under LCDC?
Could you address that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Parkinson, I believe that's true because they're going to have to be somewhat consistent with what the federal act says, and where that act may not be consistent with our goals, then the commission will be doing things different than what our goals may specify.
I guess that's the reason for the bill.
Yeah. Well, I would it be correct to say in reference to that that I think that if you look at this issue, particularly if you look at the point we're going to have to talk about our state land use program and goals and guidelines as it relate to this area, there are going to be some sticky points we have to resolve. And that act is going to be applicable to the area, but we've also got state goals. And unless we specifically indicate by state law we're excluding that area from those goals, they would be applicable, and we're going to have to deal with that problem, aren't we?
Can you answer that, Jeanette?
Because this has the status of a federal act, the compact as well as the federal act itself, if there was a direct conflict between our statutes on land use and the federal law will control.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Eakes.
That confused me. I thought I had my question answered and it was clear. Now I'm not. If on one hand you say that our land use laws apply until we change them, but on the other hand you're saying that the commission, if there's a conflict between what the commission does and what our land use laws are, then it'll supersede. So why do we have to change our land use laws anyway? And then this, then that sort of affects this amendment. I mean, I have no problem taking out LCDC under the understanding that our land use planning laws apply, and for the purposes of the commission, that, you know, we'll let the counties, the people there, participate and do the planning. But we're looking at an intermediary step here in between existing situation and what we may end up passing legislation. Now I'm beginning to wonder why we have to pass any further legislation if the commission's decisions supersede our land use planning laws.
Well, I think that's a big question. I'm not sure we can get an answer to it here. I think maybe what we want to do is take this section out.
Well, I don't think it really affects this section. The more I think about it, it's just critical to the whole. I mean, I don't, you know, if it doesn't make any, if they're going to supersede anyway, there's no sense in, you know, making LCDC participate in this process. I'm just beginning to wonder what purposes of legislation in relation to our land use planning laws would be if the commission can supersede it, whatever state law is anyway.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vikas, I don't know what the approach is in terms of drafting the land use changes. I understand in Washington they're doing everything in one bill. Whatever land use changes they need are going in with the creation of the commission and the funding. It's in one bill. We're doing it in two. If Eldon Howd is still here, he may be able to respond to that. But the other thing to keep in mind is that if we do nothing, the Forest Service, in fact, is the agency or the agent of implementing the federal act until such time as the state creates a commission and gets state people and county people involved.
Well, I'm not talking about the commission here.
Right.
This legislation necessarily anymore. I'm wondering about bill number two. Why we even have to have a bill number two if we join in the agreement and the commission's land use planning decisions supersede whatever the state law is. Why we're even worrying about changing the state law other than joining the compact. I mean, I know why Washington has a limited time frame in their session, so it's pretty clear to me why they're doing it in one bill. There's a larger question here of whether or not we even need a second bill now.
Eldon, come on up, but it's also true that Washington State has almost nothing at the state level, so I guess they got an easier problem they can have to deal with it. Representative Berea, Representative Johnson, and Representative Parkinson.
Mr. Chairperson, I think I thought it was clear until Representative Vikas.
He does it every time.
Well, I thought it was clear, too.
Go ahead.
No, I don't see an apparent conflict in the answer. As I understood the answer to the two issues is that it's part of the original planning process that would be taken over by the commission. In terms of any apparent land use issue decided by the commission, if it indeed conflicts with current land use, if there is a conflict, then the commission's land use decision prevails. There may be compatible or non-conflicting decisions.
I understand. My question is, why do we need a second bill if the commission's decisions are going to prevail? Why do we have to do anything with existing law?
Mr. Chairman, answer to Representative Vikas' question. In a sense, he may be right in terms of preemption question, but I think it's it behooves the legislature to spell out and to remove any cloud and to make that clear, plus to spell out, I think, clearly the fact that there is the balance of the county plan that's outside of the area. There's the city plans that are not affected by the legislation. And we think there's probably some questions about the adjustment of urban growth boundaries when you change the nature of the city. And I think those are subjects that will confound whoever it is that puts together the second bill and probably will be an interesting debate in this committee.
Might I ask you before I get to the other two, if you will pardon me a minute, and that is, even though you'd have another body, if we did not have this section in this bill at this point, but as you'd still have LCDC in it, because I think we're all troubled by this particular provision. What, in your judgment, problems would that create if we did not have this provision
in this bill at this point?
Probably none, in that the department and the commission would stand aside and not try to get in the way of the activities of the newly constituted Gorge Commission.
Representative Johnson, thank you.
I thought I heard you say that the federal government would have, that there's a potential for conflict with the federal government guidelines for land use. Is that embodied in the legislation that established this commission and the whole area, or does the government, does the federal government have some kind of land use program that would have to be complied with? I wasn't clear on that. That's what I wanted to find out. Or is it back to this thing that I keep hearing, that the commission could establish their own guidelines, do anything they want, and it would preempt anything we might have in our books? Is that, which is it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the bill itself does not have any real specific guidelines like we have in our land use laws now. The commission, after it's established, will probably be doing those kinds of guidelines and specific land uses, you know, within the parameters of the federal act. To the extent that those would conflict with specifics in ours, then yes, that's where your potential for a preemption type situation.
Commission actions